wasn't it? Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Did pretty good for being too full. And I thought, it's hard to sing after you eat all that. Or try to stand up here for 20, 25 minutes after all that. I can't tell you where to go in the Bible, any one particular verse tonight. It's going to be several. It can be one, two, three, four. Anyway, several verses that we're going to read to you tonight, this afternoon. It's going to be a you say, God says, and then where you can find it in the Bible. You say and God says. You say and God says, okay? And where you can find it in the Bible. And I'm glad you stuck around for this afternoon, and God bless you in that. And some of you got to go to work after a while, and well, we just appreciate you sticking around and being a part of this service with us this afternoon. If you want to go to Proverbs, the third chapter, that's where we'll start this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You might say, I can't figure it out. Well, God says, I will direct your steps. Have you ever said that before? I can't figure it out. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, here's what God says. I will direct your steps. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Well, I can't figure it out. Well, perhaps you're not trusting him. Perhaps you're not acknowledging him. Because it says if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Pastor, I'm having trouble. There's a remedy. I can't figure it out. There's the solution to your problem right there. Trust God. Trust God, and he'll direct your steps. You might say, I'm too tired. I'm just too tired. Look at Matthew 11. These are just old things. You guys know all of this, but we're just going to refresh your memories. In Matthew chapter 11, trying to find it now, verse 28, you say, I'm too tired. Well, Jesus says, I'll give you rest. I'm just wore out. Well, the word of God says, I'll give you rest. And here's what he says. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Wow. It's an open invitation for everybody that hears. An open invitation. Just got to respond to it. Give him your burdens, and he'll give you rest. We carry them ourselves too often. We want to carry the load. And Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. But we want to carry it ourselves. Well, accept the invitation from Jesus himself to let him carry your burden. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Isn't that just simple stuff? If we need to learn, because sometimes we revert back to the old way. I'm just too tired. I just can't do it. Well, yes, you can. With the Lord's help, you can do it. You might say, it's impossible. It's just impossible. There's nothing that we can do about it. There's nothing that we can do. Well, the Lord Jesus himself says all things are possible. In Luke, the 18th chapter and the 27th verse, there's one simple scripture. Jesus said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You may run up against some obstacles. You may run up against a few things. And it looks like there's no remedy. Well, the Lord says all things are possible. Just believe. Put your hope, your trust, your faith in him. Once again, stop trying to carry this load on your own. You can't do it. You'll be weary. You'll be heavy laden. You'll be beat down. Your soul won't have any rest. You'll be messed up in your spirit. Your physical man will probably fall apart. But if you'll just trust the Lord, all things are possible. Just believe. It's just simple stuff. Simple, simple stuff. Well, you say nobody loves me. Have you ever said that? I think I said that this week. Actually, I might have said that yesterday. I think I did. I didn't say it that way, but I said it like this. There ain't nobody give two nickels about me. Have you ever felt that way? Nobody gives two nickels about you? I heard that. Heard Tom Selleck say that on one of his westerns the other night. I'm getting a lot of spiritual stuff from them. Shoot 'em ups. Probably right before he shot somebody. Well, somebody does love you. My mom sings a song, Somebody Loves Me. Answers my prayer. There you are. I love somebody. I know he cares. John 3:16. How many's ever read that verse? Nobody loves me. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus loved you that much? So much to lay his life down for you? Laid his life down. Called you friends and said, I'll lay my life down for my friends. For all mankind. Because he loves us that much. You may feel unloved. You may feel very unappreciated. You may feel like nobody give two nickels for you. But God loves you. God loves you. You need to remember that when you get down. And I'll guarantee you this. Sometimes you're going to get down. I imagine back about Tuesday, last Tuesday I think it was, we was heading to Oklahoma City and with Melissa, and she was riding with us, and we got up there, and then she called Stephen again. There'd already been some debate whether she should go or not, and because some things weren't going quite right at the cleaners, and she's been going down there a lot, and she don't do a whole lot, but she probably does more than I think. After that look, she does a whole lot down there when she's there. But she's moral support to her husband. And sometimes, running a small business, this one can't come in and this one has to go home and this fell apart and this broke down. And sometimes it just needs moral support. And I imagine sometimes when Stephen's working real hard and he works 80 hours or more a week, and sometimes he probably says, nobody loves me. My kids just take me for granted. My wife don't care. And some of that might be true. But probably not. But even in that, Stephen, God loves you. And, you know, I don't know if it's one of my scriptures. I think it is later on. But casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. But Melissa was conflicted, and we got up there and we got our work done. And we didn't even stop to eat. We usually stop, you know, and it take a little bit of time to eat. I didn't say we didn't eat. We didn't stop to eat. We went quickly into Chick-fil-A, grabbed us something to go, and we headed home so she could get back and go support her husband. Well, somebody loves him. I wanted to eat lunch. But God loves you. You may feel that way yourself sometime. Nobody cares, but God does. You might say, I can't forgive myself. Have you ever felt that way? Well, God says, I forgive you. Look at Romans 8:1. Some of these scriptures are just so simple. We just forget them. We have our little pity parties. And we forget that God does care. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation to you. God doesn't condemn you. If you've come to him, come to the cross, and been forgiven of your sins, he says, I've forgiven you. There's no condemnation coming from God. You may be condemning yourself, and the devil may be bringing some things up to your memory, but God's saying there's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're living and walking and living for God, you are not condemned. You are forgiven. It's forgiven, it's forgotten, it's behind you. There's no point in picking it up and carrying it any longer. Go ahead and let God have it. He's not going to condemn you over it if you're truly forgiven. You might say, it's not worth it. it's not worth it. Well, the Lord says it is. You may be carrying a heavy load today, going through a lot of things that just keep you in turmoil. But Romans 8:28 simply says, and we know, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So I just don't think it's worth it. It's going to work out for your good. It may not look like it. It may be a little bit down the road before it works out, but it will work out. I remember a few years ago, Denny was having some difficulties on his job. I mean, some major difficulties. Didn't know what he was going to do. I mean, it went on for a long, long time. And I couldn't begin to repeat the story correctly, but I do know this. Finally, God spoke to his heart through Scripture and said, this is the deal. And it wasn't very long after that when he put his confidence in God. He calmed himself down and waited on God. And it wasn't long before God began to open and shut the correct doors. And now he's in a position where he loves his job. And God has blessed it. But at the time, he's like, it's not worth it. I want to just give up. I wonder where God's at. I wonder why God's doing this to me. God wasn't doing it to him, but you understand it. The trying of his faith worketh patience. So he's going through a few things. Now all he has to put up with is a wife and kids. The rest of his life is perfect. And a dad. That's probably the worst of his problems. If that's the worst of his problems, he don't have very many problems. May seem like it for a time. You may be bearing it for a season, but eventually I'll die. It'll be worth it. Other day I told him, I said, son, I got a key to my tractor made for you. I got a key for you. Oh, a key to our tractor? No, a key to my tractor. If that's how you feel, I want the key back. But anyway, sometimes, have you ever felt that way, though? It's just not worth it. Well, it is. And you might say to yourself, I'm not smart enough. Have you ever felt like the dumbest of the dumb? Well, I have. I've pulled some boneheads in my life. We all have. Felt really dumb sometime. I'm just not smart enough. Well, the Word of God says, I'll give you wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And then you go to the book of Proverbs, and you can read all kinds of wisdom nuggets. Things that God says concerning you. And He tells us in His Word, of all things to get wisdom. And God makes it available to you. You need to know how to live for God? Read God's Word. You need wisdom to handle some situations in your life? Read God's Word. He'll illuminate it to you, the exact perfect Scripture, to help you understand and help you make it. You have wisdom, and it comes from on high. You might say, I'm not able. Well, that's probably a crutch for a lot of people. I can't. I can't do it. Well, the next one's I can't do it, or I can't go on. I can't do it. But you say, I'm not able. Well, you are able, because God says you are. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Every believer has been generously given wisely from God. God's material resources that He will graciously replenish so that you will always have plenty and more than enough to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. God supplies your need. So you have all, you're able and made able by His sufficient grace and His supply. You can do it. You are able. You might say, I can't go on. I just can't do it any longer. I don't want to, you know, sometimes I don't want to go on. I think I'll just throw my hands up and quit. A lot of people do that. You know, things go to a certain point and their Christian walk, they'll go to a certain point and then they'll just say, I'm done. I'm not going to do this no more. Well, God says you can, His grace is sufficient. If you look at 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, Apostle Paul there, I believe it's where he was asking God to take away some things in his life. And so he was being buffeted beyond measure, he said. And he said he pleaded to the Lord that these things would depart from him. And this is what the Lord told him. Paul was thinking, I can't do that. I can't go on any longer. This thing is just too much for me. And this is what God told him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I just can't do it. You can do it with God's help. And your weakness becomes God's strength. Or God's strength covers your weakness. I don't know how to say that correctly. You understand what I'm saying? You're weak, but He's strong. So you're insufficient, but He's all sufficient. And so instead of relying on yourself, you rely on God. And so you say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I can't go on. His grace is sufficient. You can go on. You can overcome any obstacle because of His help. Then you say, I can't do it. Well, yes, you can, because God says you can do all things. And if you look at Philippians, the fourth chapter, and we know this scripture almost by heart, we should. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Probably that would cover almost everything on this list. If you just rely on Him, you can do everything through Christ who strengthens you. Well, you say, I can't manage. I just can't manage. Have you ever felt these ways? Everything I've mentioned here, I think we've all felt it at one time or another. Every one of these emotions. But God says, even though you say, I can't manage, He says, I will supply your needs. If you go again to Philippians, the fourth chapter, the 19th verse, it says, Paul said this, and my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all of your need. And that includes your material needs that may be depleted at times. But if you'll depend on God, then God will give you a gracious gift of increase. But you got to try God. Put God first. I don't know how many times, because we're tithers. My wife and I, we have been for over 40 years, faithfully tithing to the church. And we'll continue that the rest of our life, regardless of whether we're pastoring or not. We'll be a continually faithful givers to a church. And we've been down to our last nickel. No gas money. No grocery money. Yet we've never run out of gas. Never run out of groceries. God has always came through. God does supply your needs. If you'll trust Him, put your faith in Him, your hope in Him, and do what His Word says do, God will supply your needs. Doesn't mean that you might not be in want sometime. There may be a pair of shoes you'd really like to have, but you don't really need them. But God will supply your need. He'll come through for you. You may not wear the finest off of the dealer's rack, but you might be able to get the finest off of Goodwill. And if that covers your body and supplies warmth for your body, then is that not good enough if God has supplied it? Come on now, you understand what? You may not always have the best of the best, but you'll always have your needs met. And we need to give God, and it says, now to God and Father be glory forever and ever. We need to learn to give thanks in everything. In everything. He will supply your need. Praise the Lord. I've told you this story more than once, but I guess I almost have I got this thing about shirts. I don't know why it is. I guess I'm like Luke Freeze. I never had enough when I was little. I don't remember not having enough shirts, but I won't tell you what Luke Freeze didn't have enough of when he was little, and so now he has packages and packages of them in his drawer, and because he don't want to run out. And he said he had to share that particular item when he was a kid with his brothers, and so he's got more than enough now. I'm not that way. I'll give you the shirt off my back because I know I'll get another one. I ain't going to do it today because, there's a time and place for that. And this is not the time nor the place. My closet is full of shirts. I took I don't know how many over to the cleaners the other day, and I went to pick them up, and the girls go, "Do you have any shirts left at your house?" "Well, yeah." "You still got shirts?" My wife goes, "He's got a lot more than that right there in the closet today, clean." God has blessed me. I give them away every year. I give them away every few months, don't I? And I end up with more. I went to Penny's the other day, and I bought a shirt for $7.99, two of them, a green one and a red one. No, I'm not through with my story yet. This is my story. I gave $7.99 for them, had a coupon, ended up getting them for $4.99, them and two or three. Then I went back to Penny's the other day, and there were some shirts on the rack for $1.97. Same color, same shirt, but they are $1.97. Good shirts. I bought me some more. I got them home. I got two green ones and two red ones, brand new. Same shirt. But they were $1.97, man. Good shirts. God bless me. I gave some away, and I got some better ones at a lesser price. God's good, isn't he? He supplies my needs and a lot of my wants. We all quit giggling. We'll go on. He supplies your needs and oftentimes gives you your wants. But we need to be thankful and grateful for what he does. So, well, Pastor, I'm a little bit afraid. God says, I've not given you fear. I've not given you fear. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. How many know what that says? I've not given, I can't find it. There it is. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You need to stand. I've had people come up for prayer, Pastor, I'm afraid. Look, God didn't give you that spirit. He didn't. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear. He gives you a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Don't let the devil intimidate you. God says you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. I know there's some things coming our way. I know the world's in a mess. But we don't have to fear it like the unsaved world does. We know who we have hope in. We know who we put our trust in. We know who we put faith in. And God's going to supply it. He's going to take care of us one way or the other. Doesn't mean we won't go through some things. But it means God will be on our side. And then it says, have you ever felt this way? Just being a crowd and feel like you're alone? Have you ever felt that way? I have. Being a crowd of people and feel like it'd be all around you and you feel like nobody wants anything to do with you and nobody will talk to you and you're just alone. Well, Hebrews 13:5, God says he'll never leave you. He'll never leave you, so you're never alone. Hebrews 13:5, let me get over there to it so I can read it correctly. You probably are reading it off the wall, aren't you? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such thing as you have. For he himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the next verse says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. You're not alone. He'll never leave you. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what the obstacle. I don't care who it is that's coming after you. God says, I will not forsake you. I'll be by your side. There's an old song that I like by Charles Johnson in the Reviver. Says, Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He'll be standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He'll hold my hand when I begin to tremble, when the storms of this life are growing something like that. When the storms of life are coming, he's there by my side. He's holding my hand. He'll be right there with me. He'll never leave you. He'll never leave you. You need to trust that statement there. It's the word of God. It's a promise from God to his faithful believers. And we're faithful believers, aren't we? He'll never leave us. Amen? Well, I hope that was good. Good enough. Okay. Good or good enough? That's good enough. All right. Well, some of you wouldn't say good or good enough. You just sat there looking at me. Like a mule looking at a new gate. Y'all like them Okeyisms? Come up with them every now and then. I hope this helped you. I really do. And I've got a copy of it back there in the foyer if you'd like to take it home with you for some further study, or just when you feel these ways, say, look at this. Hey, that's what God says. That's what God says. I mean, come on, church. If that's what God says, man, what else do we need? God's on our side. And we can make it, can't you? Well, would you stand with me? You want to come play the piano? We're going to have a word of prayer. How about that? Would y'all like to come have a season of prayer? Not a word of prayer, but a season of prayer. Come pray a little while, seek the Lord, and just let him just minister to you. And maybe some of these things are things you're going through right now. Just come and just ask the Lord to help you, to put your faith in him and your hope in him. Would you come? Just have a word of prayer. Come on. Have a season of prayer with me today. And as you leave, if you'd like to pick up one of these, they are in the foyer.